This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
Welcome to the Book Lounge, where we rest our eyes, put our feet up, and read between the ears.
Like in all good lounges, we're a relaxed crowd with no set schedule.
But we will be bringing you author interviews, readings, audio reviews, as well as story casts for kids and grown-ups.
I'm Lisa Rundle, editor of the Rabble.ca book review section.
And I'm Matthew Adams, coordinator of the ever-growing Rabble Book Lounge bookstore. And we are your hosts.
But not the fussy kind.
For Radio Book Lounge.
Come on in and enjoy some fine casual dining radio. We're here in the Radio Book Lounge today with two of our featured podcasters. Michelle Langlois.
Hello.
Who does Nodcast. And Chris Kavanaugh, who
great
does Comeuppance. Welcome.
Welcome, everybody.
Thank you.
And Thanks. That's Matt. So, Michelle, I wondered if you could tell us a bit about your podcast. What is the Nodcast?
Well, the Nodcast is going to be a podcast that is about reading stories to children, but also, I guess, to their parents. I want to have a podcast where I read them a story, but, you know, that I don't make their parents cringe in horror a la Barney, so...
That's very, you know, considerate.
Yes, well, as a parent, you know, I've sat through one too many of those kind of shows, so...
Excellent. So what kind of stories will you be reading?
Well, the first podcast... I'm hoping to read a lot of different kinds of stories, and actually, if anybody has story ideas, please send them to me. But the kind of stories I'm hoping to read are timeless-type stories, fairy tales, stories from other cultures, which hopefully I'll be able to do with sensitivity, and that's about it.
How can people reach you if they do have ideas?
My email address is nodcast, nodcast, at gmail.com.
Great. How did the idea for the Nodcast come about?
What I wanted to do, okay, I have a son, I have a almost 7-year-old son. And his father and I are separated, and so we live in different cities, and so my son isn't always with me. And he really likes to be read bedtime stories at night, and so one of the ways that I thought would be a fun way for him to not miss me so much is if I were to make little MP3 recordings of me reading stories. And so I mentioned this to Wayne McPhail, and he said, hey, that's a great idea for a podcast.
And he's the executive producer of the Rabble podcast.
That's right. And so I thought, hey, yeah, that is kind of a neat idea, you know, and that way they could download it easily instead of me trying to email huge sound files to his dad. And so that's how the idea started, and hopefully my son really enjoys it, and hopefully others do too.
That's wonderful. Excellent. Now let's throw it over to you, Matt.
I was going to ask Chris, what is Comeuppance? What is your podcast about?
Well, it's primarily a podcast of storytelling. So it will feature a lot of stories told orally, and that's I'm a professional storyteller. I like to tell stories. Toronto is an incredibly rich storytelling culture. It's diverse. It's remarkable, and there's been a revival in Toronto that, you know, goes back solidly for at least 25 years now. So, in the first instance, Comeuppance is a podcast of oral storytelling.
So it's the stories themselves, not about the storytelling community.
Well, no, it's not about the storytelling community. No, not except that I will eventually feature other members of the community. I mean, we have literally hundreds of people in Toronto from all the cultures, you know, that live here in Toronto as well. They're represented. Who self-identify as storytellers. It's quite remarkable, and perhaps unique in terms of 21st century urban culture, because it's been taken up so vigorously as an art practice, as a revival, as a tradition, as an ongoing thing. So it will certainly feature storytellers. And on Comeuppance, I also want to talk about stories as well. I want to talk about narrative, and with an emphasis on oral narrative as well, which is different from reading, and they're related, and I have a tremendous respect for what's written down, because it's the only way with contradictions that a lot of stories have survived from the 17th and 18th century and before. But those stories can be taken off the page and put back into oral culture. So I want to talk about those dynamics, as well as the dynamics of myth and literature and narrative, with, you know, that emphasis towards the telling of them, the actual oral telling of them.
So how are you going to, is your focus going to be on what people would call fiction stories, or are you going to expand that to whatever you might declare is a story?
I'm kind of expansive in whatever people want to call a story. Like, narrative, we know through narrative in a way that we know differently through non-narrative forms, or you could compare it to logic. You know, logic is one way we know things. And let me make 3 points. 1, 2, 3. You know, like, logic lines up very nicely, you know. And things that we know logically, you know, that if you drop a rock, it falls down, you know, are things that are sort of non-contradictory. Narrative, by comparison, in which, you know, and from the point of view of which anything's a story, needs contradiction to work. You know, a riddle doesn't work if it doesn't actually trick you. You know, a story doesn't work if it doesn't have suspense and tension. It doesn't work if people don't think that you're going one way and get turned the other. Like, that's what makes stories interesting and fun and also open to learning and communication. So narrative is a way of knowing. And I'm interested in all of that. And once again, you know, podcast is a way to feature the oral side of all of that, the importance of the oral in all of that, because we are creatures of language.
Can I ask someone who knows very little about the storytelling community, in what contexts do people ask you, invite you to come tell stories, or where do you get to tell stories?
Oh, that's a, well, done. There are so many places. There, for over 25 years now, there's been a weekly event called 1001 Friday Nights of Storytelling. Hmm. It's an open stage storytelling event.
Oh, I've heard of that.
Yes, yeah. it's really wonderful, and you must come, and it's a great place. You know, it's a great place to come and talk about Nodcast. You learn stories. The only rule, really, is that you cannot read stories. You have to tell.
There's
tons of traditions about how that's done. But what I love about it, in addition to it being a weekly event that's an open stage, is that it's one of the most generous listening audiences I've ever seen. Nobody has to tell. There's always a core of people there, the old timers, you know, long time tellers. And frequently, because I think of the generosity, new tellers, you know, are quite willing to get up and try a story or a riddle or and anything goes. Personal stories, folk tales, fairy tales, ballads, riddles. You run the gamut of types of stories that you hear. So that's one place.
And quality, too.
Neat.
You run the gamut of quality. Amateurs that are trying things out, and you get people that are really polished, and there's some excitement to that. Community excitement.
Yeah, and that's a part of oral tradition, too. Like, when people say, how do I learn to tell stories, my first advice is to go to the Friday nights, because you will hear the best and the worst. And for somebody learning, it's really important to hear people tell who aren't that good at it, and even bad. Like, in the context of learning to tell, in a way there almost isn't a bad storytelling, because you hear stuff you don't like, or you hear stuff from people who aren't necessarily proficient, but then that is a powerful learning for you to decide how you like to tell, how you might do it differently. So the Friday nights are wonderful for that, because you hear the best and the worst, but even the worst is important and valuable.
I think that's kind of neat, because I find myself very nervous within a script. That sounds like something that would be really worthwhile.
Put your script away, Michelle.
I didn't read that.
take you out. Where would one find the Friday nights now?
For the first time in almost 15 years, I think, the Friday nights have moved from where they were, which was down at St. George the Martyr Church on the Grange at John Street, just north of Queen. And it's the new location is at Innes College on the corner of Sussex and St. George in downtown Toronto, just south of the St. George subway. And it meets there every Friday night, starting at 8 p.m. in the Innes College Cafe. And it usually goes from 8 to 11. It's a couple of sets of an hour, give or take. And as I said, it's always open stage, and anybody can come and just listen, or even dare to tell.
And you have sometimes have guests and that sort of thing too, right? Because I remember hearing about it where they actually had like an author that was coming to.
Well, occasionally there'll be a guest, but actually quite rarely. Like, storytellers will come through town from England or the prairies or outside of Toronto, And so they'll be asked to at least tell a story. Sometimes they'll be given a whole set. But there's quite a protective, you know, protection around the open stage stuff, too.
I see.
So no evening would ever, nor in my experience have I ever seen an evening given over to, like, one person exclusively.
Oh, okay.
And that would really disrupt the culture.
Hmm.
And so at most, a special guest will be given a whole set to themselves. And that's with respect and wonderful. But there will always also be an open stage as part of the night, too.
Well, I wonder if Radio Book Lounge could come in and record sometime so that our listeners could have a taste of.
I'm sure. Well,
you're going to have come up and so it's going to go and record. But maybe we can steal from you.
Yeah, no, I think, again, the audience is generous, the culture is generous, and so I think that you'd get an open reception to that. I mean, some individuals might be nervous about being recorded, but the culture of the Friday nights would welcome that attention.
Well,
and,
you could always ask people before you record.
Exactly,
too,
so. And I plan to do that as part of Comeuppance.
Oh,
and nice. I also encourage Radio Book Lounge to do it, and
well,
I encourage Nodcast to do it. Like, we have different interests, and so there'll be something for each of us at the Friday nights. And it's every Friday night. That's 52 Fridays a year without exception. It's remarkable.
That's great.
Yeah.
So what about interpreting stories on Comeuppance?
Well, that's a constant, because I love to tell stories from world wisdom traditions. And wisdom traditions and what are called wisdom stories are often short little stories that are part of teaching traditions that are really wonderful. And if a story is going to teach somebody, and then you're going to say the moral of the story is, then why tell the story, is my feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And the people, the tradition, I think, that practices the most radical kind of anti-interpretation stance, in my experience, are the Sufis. And the Sufi practice almost categorically refuses to interpret stories. And there's a Sufi story about that. And it's in my first podcast, but it's a short little story. And it's about this 14th century Sufi master, Bahauddin Naqshband, who was asked by his disciples, "Master, why do you never interpret the stories you tell us?" And Naqshband's answer is, "Well, how would you like it if the fruit seller from whom you bought fruit ate the fruit and left you only the skin?"
Hmm.
And in that story, I think, is a powerful, you know.
What is
thing.
The moral of that story?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, that's my answer, you know, to interpreting stories. And so I want Comeuppance to offer people those stories. Because as I've learned through storytelling, if I'm telling one story to 10 people or 20 people, then there's actually at least 10 or 20 different experiences of that story.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a challenge for any storyteller to put the story out there,
mm-hmm,
in a way that is going to allow the listeners to read their meaning into it, or write their meaning into it, or tell their own meaning into that story that they've heard.
Yeah, I'm going to try and do the same thing with the children's with the children's stories. I don't want to be especially stories from other cultures and other traditions, because first of all, I don't really, you know, necessarily think that I necessarily have any major insight into other traditions. You know, I'd like to read the stories, but it would be a bit presumptuous for me to try and interpret them. And secondly, nobody likes nobody likes a moralizer. You know, it might be fun to read a fairy tale that has a traditional moral to it, but I won't be. I won't be saying at the end, "So kids, that'll teach you. Eat your peas." Yeah, that's exactly it. So.
Well, I also think with kids' stories, Michelle, that as we grow up as adults and we remember stories that we call our favorites,
mm-hmm,
that there's, I think, in a way, there's two areas or two large reasons why a story remains our favorite. And one is because it's the same and it always reminds us of the same.
Mm-hmm.
But the other reason it remains a favorite is precisely because every time we hear it, or tell it, or listen to it, or read it, there's something new to be found in that story.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what keeps a story alive. You know, it's the same story, maybe, like in words and deed, but our experience of it can completely change.
Yeah.
And it remains a favorite over time, and that's the wonderful gift of storytelling with kids,
mm-hmm,
is that we give children those stories to remember the rest of their lives.
Mm. Absolutely.
which means you can tune in to Nodcast and come up and it's over and over and over again.
Exactly.
And get a new experience every time. You never step in the same river twice. So there we are.
Demosthenes.
Thank you both for joining us in the book lounge as our very first guests.
Well,
in our radio book lounge.
What a privilege.
Hey, come and relax at the Rabble Book Lounge at rabble.ca/lounge, where you can find fabulous book reviews, book events around the country, and an amazing bookstore, along with Radio Book Lounge. That's all at Rabble Book Lounge. rabble.ca/lounge. That's where you'll find it, at the book lounge. rabble.ca.
The crowd roars.